Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website daspitlaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours celebrating. What a great day it is in the city of Houston. It's a beautiful day. You see how nice it is out today? Nice and cool last night when the game was over. Did you watch? You watched at home?
The game was over. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were out.
We were out last night watching.
No, because it wasn't after it rained. It was like, hey, what the hell's all this blanket of humidity? And so it must have cooled overnight.
It cooled.
Yeah.
No.
I woke up this morning. It was great.
It was nice about 7 o'clock last night. It was nice out. See, you don't
was
even know.
Was it? No, yeah. I was outside with my dogs and all that. It was fine.
You don't even know what dew point is anymore.
It wasn't cool, but it never challenged me on that because you're going to get a whole. I'll disrupt this entire first segment.
We're talking about a Texans win over the Cowboys, not
all right,
dew point.
Serious question. It's going to make some of you upset. I came on here yesterday and I said, mark this down at 7:05, Dell. Texans going to score a bunch of points. They'll score in the second half. They'll do this and that. And everyone will feel totally different about everything. Do you feel totally... The Texans ended up winning 34-10. Was that the final?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you feel totally different?
I feel better with Nico there, yeah.
I do, but I don't feel as different.
I
honestly don't feel as different as I thought I was going to. And I think some of it is because...
Why?
I just can't get my quarterback to throw like he did last year. It's really bothering me that he's missing easy throws. This is what made him. He had elite accuracy and elite. My comp on him was Jared Goff because both of them are really accurate with great ball placement.
Very accurate.
Very accurate. Very great ball placement. And I don't know. It's just. I think I'm just. Right now, I'm just too in my own head about. Worrying too much about C.J. Stroud. Look, I'm worrying too much about C.J. Stroud missing throws he made last year, and the slow people can't even enjoy a game anymore. Like, they're at a point now where they can't even enjoy games. It was crazy. Looking at some of the things that were being said, like, they cannot even enjoy games because they're looking for confirmation bias throughout the game. The Texans played sloppy. They did stuff like Cooper Rush had too many yards passing against one of the best pass defenses in the league, and I don't think they had allowed over 250 yards this year for any single passer.
I
think they're number
three. I think they're third in league overall in defense and fourth. They were
now,
fourth, not anymore. Not after 354.
Dallas didn't run it.
No.
They were throwing, and there was some open stuff. But the Texans also dropped about five interceptions. Yesterday, and this is why you need to have at least a certain standard for arm strength. You don't have to have a strong arm to play in the NFL, but you have to have at least you have to hit the baseline. And Cooper Rush falls below the baseline. Look how many of his throws the Texans were able to get right on top of it, like. Near interceptions galore and passes batted down galore. But that was a farce of a Cowboys team for sure. And they don't, like, it is, I don't want to say they quit, but they're not even competitive.
They're bad.
It's
just a bad football team. It's just a bad it's a bad organization. It's led by a guy who shouldn't be leading the organization. It's been years and years, and it's been decades now.
But you feel better with...
They haven't been a good organization.
It was going to be better with Nico Collins. There's no question.
Yeah, it was better.
And you know what?
And that makes me...
I missed the first play of the game.
You Well,
I missed the first play of the game. I literally came in to hit the TV on pause, and I missed it.
Yeah, so it was, for those of you that didn't see the first play of the game, CJ throws it out to Nico. Nico scores a touchdown, 72 yards. Yay, yay, yay. Oh, penalty flag. Laremy Tunsil was downfield. I didn't feel pissed about it, though. I mean, that would normally, if it's the end of the game and it's a close game and he does something like that, because I knew, oh, my God, this is like a hot knife through butter. That was so easy. That was simple. This is going to be a blowout, and it was. I don't know about you, but I never felt that this game was in danger. Never felt like, here's same old Texans. They're going to give it. Nope, never felt any of that.
They did some of that stuff, but I wasn't worried Dallas could capitalize.
No, Dallas couldn't capitalize on anything.
It's
a terrible team.
There was stuff I didn't like that we'll talk about, but I think the Texans did what they're supposed to against a bad team. I still think there's still plenty. What D'Amico's going to say is they've got a lot to clean up. Well, that's what D'Amico says. We've got a lot to clean up.
Well, we've got D'Amico, as a matter of fact, and he and CJ. Well, CJ made a mistake last night. He missed a couple of throws. But he made a real big mistake in the post-game press conference. But first, Dell, let's play. You got some D'Amico. He's got to be happy with the way that they played. And he talked about finishing. They actually scored a second-half touchdown. Mm-hmm. Well, they scored two second-half touchdowns.
Yeah. Joe Mixon got the hat trick.
Yeah, Joe Mixon got the hat trick. They scored a defensive touchdown. They scored an offensive
Derek
touchdown.
Derek Barnett made up for the head slap with a defensive touchdown.
Yep. By stripping the ball and then recovering the Guyton fumble, Jalen Petrie, nice hit on Guyton.
It was like like a torpedo.
Yeah, he crushed it. Guyton shouldn't be carrying the football. Just fall on a big guy. And Derek Barnett scoop and score, and the Texans scored defensively. When they did that, that was their first score, their first touchdown in the second half in 5 weeks. I put out there, second half touchdown. Take that, all you Slowick haters. And boy, people are not
so right. So I just want to make sure that all of our listeners, if you listen to us, you know that we've got a sense of humor and we joke. Clearly, facetiousness is part of this show, especially with Dell there, who is a bit of a snarky little twit.
Yeah.
I think what people have said about you. I don't say that about you.
No, people said that.
But Abigail and other people.
Absolutely.
What did you call me?
No, people have said that.
People have said snarky.
What did people say about me?
Sam and Abigail have said these things.
No, but what did they say?
Huh?
What did they say about me?
They call you a snarky twit. I don't know.
Twit?
Yeah. I don't even use that word, so clearly this isn't me.
I don't know what that means. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
But
so people say that, but this show has that already.
Yeah, people.
So if you're listening
now.
You
think Sam and Abigail use the word twit?
They did. I guess it's a Gen Z
word.
They're
British now.
I guess it's a Gen Z word.
They're studying British.
It's kind of like brat. It's twit, but it's different.
Is it twit? Yeah.
So I know that when you're listening, you guys should know the tone. Right. So Bobby Slowick, so to set the scene, Texans haven't scored an offensive touchdown in five straight games. The defense clearly scores a touchdown. Derek Barnett scores a touchdown. He goes in. Yep. It's touchdown. John, can you read what you write? And let's see if it sounds like facetiousness and like you're being sarcastic or facetiousness.
Well, I said, Texans score a second half touchdown. Take that, all you Slowick haters! !!
Yeah,
and
so clearly the joke is it was a touchdown, but it was the defense.
Right,
it's clear as day to anyone with a modicum of intelligence, and really not even intelligence. You just need to have you need to be around people, and if you're not some nerd that's just shut off on your phone the whole time, you should know.
Yeah,
you should know. That's clearly the joke. That's the joke. A defensive touchdown was scored, and John made a comment about the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Okay. That's the joke.
It's a joke. Well, it was the defense that scored. Wilbur said this.
Okay, so we got Wilbur's first up.
It was the defense that scored the TD. RJ in Clear Lakes doesn't count, not by offense.
Really?
Yeah, good take, John. The defense had to bail him out and make it respectable. Defending Slowick is very cringe. It was an ugly win at best. Lane said that. So there's a lot of people that didn't get it. Not by the offense. What's TF mean?
The F.
Yeah.
Not by offense, TF, LOL. Slow wit.
It's not bad, actually.
That's not bad. STFU, Slowick sucks A. Okay. I mean, it was a joke, I think. I think that was a joke.
And the thing is, depending on when they saw it, they're not even going to like the fact that they think you're talking about that tack on touchdown at the end.
Like, oh, right. They might have thought
they might see it later and go, whatever. That game was over already. Doesn't matter. People who can't tell the difference between a joke and real are going to come
right,
after
right,
you.
Right. Well, if they thought it was after that touchdown, then I could see where they're like, he still sucks.
Yeah, I think that's where that comes from.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
There are people who literally can barely get through with their days.
I know.
There's just one guy that's been a longtime listener that I like. He's so in his head right now. Like, I don't think he can. I'm not sure how he functions through a day.
So, and they showed a lot of Bobby Slowick last night on the broadcast.
Well, because Troy said he wanted to get into it, how Joe Buck said at the beginning. I don't know if you could hear it. Joe Buck said, you know, last year, this is a guy who, you know, who the minute the season over is one of the hottest coaching prospects. And, man, for the city of Houston, that's really changed. The fans have been all over him and for the for play calling. And Troy said, yeah, I want to address that later. And I don't know that he did. I didn't ever hear Troy really get into it. Maybe he did, and I missed it because I was also trying to go through with the Rockets. But I didn't hear him address it. I didn't think there was – I mean, there's always – for me, play calling is about situational. It's not about CJ throws an interception and Slowick called an interception play like some people do. I don't – those people are too dumb to talk to anymore.
Right.
But – Or they're just too biased and whatever. But like a third and inches and you try to throw, and look, it was an off target throw by CJ. CJ should have never thrown that ball. Joe Mixon was a bully again last night. Mm-hmm. It's third and inches and you run hurry up, you just give the ball to Mixon and let him get his yard.
Why are you throwing the ball, Bobby?
That made no sense.
Only if you're gonna go for it on fourth down. You said, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But every time
we're
you hurry
take
up,
a shot here.
I've never seen a hurry up. A hurry up always runs into a run. Always. It never runs into a pass. Apparently, I don't know, Sarge, I don't know, because he may have heard this from somebody. He said that, you remember the pitch play? The wide pitch play around the goal line where Mixon got stopped? He said CJ checked into it because he was, which is, because I'm like, I don't know why Sarge would have said that. Like, that's a random thing for somebody to say unless you heard it.
During the game he said it? How would he know?
Yeah, during the game. That's what I don't know why he would know that CJ checked into it unless he saw something. Because basically the play was into a loaded front. Like, the numbers were bad on that side. Mm. So it was near the goal line. It was one of these, you know, the Texans can't execute near a goal line if they're too far out. They either hold, which they did again yesterday. They held and ended up having to kick a field goal. Then you had that toss play. But there's two things that I had a problem with. I thought Bobby Slowick called a fine game. I didn't have any problem with it. I did have individual plays, the third and short. And then this scored a touchdown, but why in the world did he go to an 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers set? Tank came in. It was either Woods or Mechie came in, and they blocked down. The play was not designed to bounce out to the right. It's when Joe ran to the right, got a touchdown, and then went little on 31. Joe just made a play himself because there was penetration. What are we doing putting littles in there in a condensed formation to block again? Like, what are we doing? I thought we were done with this on Tank Dell. No, Bobby.
Again.
Yeah, again. Get him out of there.
Again.
Yeah, it was a condensed formation. So I had problems with that. Those are individual things I had problems with, but the Texans, you know.
Why does he hate the team? Why does he want Tank in there blocking as a guard again? I don't get that. It makes me nuts. It kind of makes me nuts. But I'm just going to have to live with it, I guess. I'm just going to have to live with Tank at guard forever. We'll hear from D'Amico and CJ's faux pas. CJ had a huge faux pas yesterday. If you don't know what a faux pas is, it's not good, but he got a good laugh out of it. And you know what we always do? We always get a good laugh with Craig DeSerf.
Yeah, we do with Craig. So I don't laugh whenever the deals are coming out because I'm just like, oh man, look at this. And Craig, I know Todd was out visiting Craig. I'm getting ready to, my lease is coming up, and I think I'm going to get into a Buick this time. I love the Chevy Traverse. Love, love, love it. And they have, you know, the Traverses are just, they're spoken for. People are eating them up. But the vehicle, the second one, he said, well, what else? I said, Buick Enclave. I've driven the Enclave before. It's the same type of body type and style as the Chevy Traverse. The Buick Enclave is awesome. And they got great prices on the Envision, the Buick Envision, which is what my son drives. And really all the Buicks. If you haven't seen the Buicks really over the last 10 years, but especially over the last 4 or 5 years, they are very sporty, have incredible interiors. I think the best that I've seen. The interior is really well designed and looks awesome. And they're really built to last. They are. I talked to one of the sales reps over there, and he's like, we get no complaints about Buick. Like, rarely are they even in the shops. And that's what I'm looking for. So when you look at the APR financing rates, they have the dealer cash back incentives, the red tag sales they have available still for the rest of this month, where vehicles with red tags are extra money off of them. You really should not pass up the opportunity. Go to the website, GulfCoastChevyBuickGMC.com, and take a look at all the vehicles they have in stock. My man's making better deals than anyone else. He gives more trade-in value. You cannot miss out on a great chance for a purchase or a lease at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, some positives last night. Obviously, Joe Mixon was a huge positive.
Another 100-yard game.
Another one. Nico Collins coming back. And that touchdown run was tremendous, just tremendous. Listen, Joe Mixon and Derrick Henry are the two biggest running back stories this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are
they, Saquon Barkley's right there with him.
And they're all new additions.
Yeah, they all had something left in the tank.
I'm not sure that Joe isn't making a bigger impact than Saquon is.
Say you better take a look at all that.
Saquon's
having a bigger impact. Look at what
how many 100-yard games does Joe
won have? Like seven in a row.
Yeah. But the Texans are 7-4, so
Joe
sorry.
Missed. Yeah, no, Saquon's ahead of Joe. But Joe's, I mean, they're equal. There's no difference to me. They've both been, sometimes we don't need to stack up and try to rate. They're both having massive impacts on their team.
If he continues, and by the way, there's a lot of season still left. Continues this way, he's got a chance to be first team all pro. Joe Mixon does.
He's got his hands full because of the two names we just talked about.
He's got a tough one. Missed games. Saquon's.
He missed a couple of games, yeah.
Saquon's got nearly 400 yards more than him right now.
I don't care
and
about Saquon.
Receiver out of the backfield, it's going to be tough
for Joe. Of
course,
Saquon can't have as many touchdowns because of the tush push.
He's got 10 right now.
He's got 10, even with, and my boy Jalen Hurts has like 8. So Saquon could have like 16 rushing touchdowns now, but when they get to the 1 yard line, forget about it.
At back, Joe has 10. Saquon has 8 on the ground. Okay, I don't know how many he has through the air right now.
Yeah, so there you have it, kicking his ass. That's what I said.
But he has more.
And I'm not taking it back.
More receiving.
Joe Mixon, with a lot of seasons still left, has a chance to be first team all-pro.
Who do you think has more yards per game rushing?
More yards? Well, Saquon has huge games. He had
Saquon is averaging 113 a game.
Yeah.
He's having that's the highest of his entire career.
Yeah.
By far. He's averaging 5.8 yards a carry. His receiving yardage. Well, he's got 2 receiving touchdowns.
You know, I know all this because I outbid you for him in fantasy football auction.
Who's Saquon?
Yeah.
Then why shouldn't you be on board with the
Saquon?
Well,
because
train
I'm a Joe guy. Okay, now I'm a Joe guy.
Well, no, they're both excellent, and so is Derrick Henry. All three of them, you're right. All of them, like, I don't know that anyone thought, well, there was people who thought Derrick was washed up, and maybe even Joe Mixon to an extent.
And Saquon had a lot to prove, too.
Yeah, he had a lot to prove, but you just didn't know for sure because the offensive
line was The Bengals thought he was done.
Yeah.
To the point that, we'll go with Chase Brown.
Well, and Chase is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But Joe Mixon, last year, the stat was he was, like, worse than the league after initial contact. Well, that ain't the case
this
year.
Not a lot of explosive plays.
He's a different guy.
Yeah.
He said early on this year that I think it was right after game one, he enjoyed playing big boy football again, having someone in front of him, a back. Because, you know, the Bengals are running out of shotgun all the time and stuff. That's how they operate most efficiently with Joe. Saw that in college with Burrow. That's transitioned to the NFL. He said watching them get under center, having a guy block from you, or just simply heavier formations is what he was looking for, and it's worked out here.
It's worked out great. The offensive line, we got to give big ups. One sack, over 100 yards on the ground again. CJ had time. We got to give it up for him. They had the crucial penalty, had a couple of penalties, but not a big deal. Did not kill the team. Actually played well. I know it was the Cowboys. Did you even hear Micah Parsons' name other than them showing him on the sideline, disgusted all the
couple,
time?
Yeah, there's a couple times. A
couple
where
pressures.
The
from
rush
him, yeah.
got pretty close to him.
He had one tackle all night.
But yeah, no, the rush got pretty close against Titus Howard once, but it was not a. There was plenty of pressure on CJ, but look, it's
NFL.
It gets leaky in the middle. But then once it happens once, everyone's assuming, like, you start looking for pressure. CJ had enough time to pass. No. It's not perfect. They're far from perfect. There are issues with Juice is not a great pass protector. He's going to have to be able to move around the pocket, CJ, extend and make plays. But the tackles, it was okay at tackle. Now, they're also a team who doesn't have Trevor. They don't have, not Trevor Lawrence,
Dexter.
No, not Dexter.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
They don't have DeMarcus Lawrence. They don't have Marshawn Nealon, their second-round pick. They don't have Sam Williams, who was a second-round pick 2 years ago. Like, they've got three defensive ends that are out.
Yeah.
So
we had Will Anderson.
They have.
You know what? Suck it up.
Well,
get better players.
I'm not trying to do a comparison at who they had the most players. What I'm saying is the Texans' offense got to face, really, I mean, the Cowboys are a wreck because of injuries and just, well, frankly, poor play.
Yeah, poor caddy. Yeah, poor caddy.
How about when Settle beat Zach Martin and then
I'm going to say this. I want to say this. And about Tim Settle and about DeNico Autry and about Derek Barnett. And listen, the Texans, and you got to give it up for Nick Caserio. And, oh, by the way, DeMeco in this press conference, final press conference last year, we're beefing up the defensive line. What did they do? They go out and get Autry. They go out and get Hunter. They go out and get Foley. They go out and get Settle. They go. I mean, it's like, okay. And you know what happened? Look at the depth on that defensive line. Even without the rookie of the year and a guy who's kicking ass all year long, Will Anderson, they still don't miss a beat. They. How many sacks did they have last night? Five sacks last night.
Who had five?
The Texans.
Well, they must have been all in the second half because they sucked nuts in the first half.
Wow.
They were terrible.
That's awful.
They
to
got
say.
No pressure in the first
they
half.
They really didn't. They didn't have much
pressure.
They were
pressure awful. And I've made a it got me a little bit pissed, but I got a little upset. I made a comment about they're going to have to go in to the second half and dial up more blitzes. They're just going to have to because they're not getting pressure for it. And I thought you told me there's no such thing as adjustment, Lance. I said, calling a blitz isn't an adjustment, you numbskull.
Well,
it got me all pissed off.
Every sack was by a defensive lineman last night. They just got after him last night much better. Settle was a problem for them. Barnett was a problem
for them.
They
were sending people in the
second
half.
Autry was a problem for them, and Hunter was a huge problem for
them. They sent people a lot more in the second half. They weren't blitzing in the first half. Once you throw more bodies out there, it's easier for somebody to get home, but there were some guys who won individual battles. Settle. Now, who else? What were the other? You had
Autry.
Hunter.
Autry had a beautiful sack.
Hunter had one to start the second half.
Yeah, and then he had one
now,
late.
Now, how much did it help to have an absolute pocket sloth back there? This guy is a pocket sloth of all pocket sloths. No movement.
Yeah.
No ability to move. It helps a little bit when you have that.
Absolutely. But, I thought that, well, the defense plan obviously played much better in the second half. They just did. They shut them out, and they put all kinds of pressure on them. That was a huge plus. Watching, I didn't even know. I was like, we're watching Turpin run down the field with that touchdown, and 11 is chasing him. And I'm like, who's that linebacker? Why do they have a linebacker? Oh, my God, that's Jeff Okuda? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
He's slow.
Opened his
hips
early.
He's very slow.
That's how Turpin's really fast.
Yeah.
Jeff Okuda opened.
He made Okuda look really slow.
Yeah, Okuda's got pretty good speed, and Turpin has elite NFL speed. They said he got almost to 23 miles an hour. He was up to 22-something. That is freaking
pumping it.
Yep.
That's 4-3-40 stuff. And Okuda had no chance. His poor technique, opened his hips right away, and then, you know, and then Turpin just made a basic move inside. I don't know what. I don't know why he was thinking he was going to funnel him to the outside. It was such a bad technique by Okuda. But I thought the same thing, like, oh, great.
Oh, no.
Jeff Okuda's back.
Jeff Okuda. Yikes.
Him and Kadar Holman. I will say, of all the things, Nick Cassera's done a pretty good job with roster building. The secondary is poor. He's got to do better. Like, you got to have better depth.
That's the first thing they address this offseason. 728 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on the game. Robert, you're going to be up there first. Anybody else wants in? Let's go. You got your Texans game. And we haven't even touched on the Rockets. What a comeback, only to go, wah, 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 wah.
They had a big lead early.
Yeah.
Then had to come back from a big deficit. Then had a lead.
They're a ballsy team. There's a lot of good things to take away from that.
But you've got to talk about John Daspit.
Yeah, and I'll talk about John Daspit, the personal injury lawyer. I saw there's another one who was doing stuff on Rockets games. I'm like, wait a minute, my man John Daspit was on there last year, and I started thinking about John Daspit and his phone number. Is it easy to remember? And it is. It's 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. I'll tell you the number right now. Because what happens is when you're in an accident, one of the first things you should do if you're in a bad accident, whether it's at work or whether you are on the roadways, you obviously need to make sure that you get medical attention. If it's something where there's an injury, you need to go get medical attention. If it's something where your neck's hurting, your back's hurting because you were T-boned or you were hit from behind because somebody was texting, and this is happening, by the way, a high percentage where people are texting, don't see cars parked at the stoplight, and then run right into them. That is happening at an inordinate pace, as you can imagine. And that causes a lot of injuries there when you're back, when you're not ready for it. I know that John Daspit will help you make sure and get you to the doctor, get you, if you can't afford it, make sure that you get those x-rays and the CAT scans and whatever else you need to make sure you're going to be okay. And if there's something wrong, make sure you get it fixed. And the insurance company, the other team, is going to pay for it. They're going to pay for your insurance. They're going to pay for all those medical exams. They're going to pay for you to get fixed. If that means physical therapy, if that means surgery, whatever that the hospital stay, they're going to pay for it, and they're going to pay for your pain and suffering. They will squeeze you like you've never been squeezed before if you do it yourself. With John Daspit, they have no choice. That man is a boa constrictor. He does the squeezing. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Robert's been sitting here. He's got an NFL question he wants to get in here on the show. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, gentlemen. Okay, I've noticed, and I'm going to date myself here because I still argue the Renfro catch back in the 70s. But I've noticed this year alone, I've noticed more ineligible man downfield calls than I've ever noticed before. I've noticed more in one game than I've seen in a season. Now, did they redefine the rule, or is it because of the quarterbacks are more mobile? What's the problem? Because it's not just the Texans. I noticed there were three calls in the Ravens game, and it's just like they were all questionable. Even now, these broadcasting teams have a rules guru, to ask, and they'll say, well, that was questionable. So what's the story?
I don't know if they're making a concerted effort this year to, you know, cut down on illegal men downfield. And you know, he was like a yard and a half downfield. And I don't know. I don't know. You're right. I think there are more calls to illegal men downfield this year. I don't know. Maybe there, you know what, sometimes there is a mandate by the league. Hey, you guys, we're not calling this. Let's get it. Let's make sure that we're calling it, and they're looking for it a hell of a lot more.
It's an RPO thing. They started doing this with RPOs because RPO is the offensive line functions like they're a run team because they don't know what the quarterback's going to do. and it becomes an issue with him getting downfield. But there's a lot of, you know, like throwing those little side screens. They don't want – you can go sideways, but they don't want you, you know, to get up the field and make contact before the ball is thrown, you know, beyond the line of scrimmage. It's – I get it. I know why they're doing it. They don't want the offense to have too big an advantage when it's outside of what the rules are. But you're right. Every year you they'll tell you sometimes it's going to be a quote unquote point of emphasis.
Yep.
And when you find out point of emphasis, all it is they're just going to call a rule tighter. They're going to call it to the letter of the law. I didn't hear that this was going to be a point of emphasis.
I didn't either.
Now, what I did hear was point of emphasis is going to be where you line up. Then we're going to let tackles line up anymore. And I don't see that being called anymore. Do you? The illegal line, I don't see it. Not with the Texans, at least, where the tackle can't line up.
I think they're doing a better job of it, though.
I think, the point was made.
Yeah.
Like, you guys do this, and we're going to call it multiple times in the same series if we need to. Stop trying to cheat against defensive ends. You can't align yourself in the backfield. So, now that was a point of emphasis. I don't know if the rest are.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is, Robert. But, yeah, it was a crap call. You know what else? I don't know. It's so ticky-tack, that call. What wasn't ticky-tack was the big hit that they put on. Was it Schoonmaker caught that ball and Petrie hit him with his shoulder?
Yeah, legal.
It was legal.
Mm-hmm.
And they called a foul. Unfortunately for Jalen Petrie, he'll probably get fined for a big hit. And even if it's not illegal, sometimes you get fined and stupidly.
Yeah, but the refs missed the very first series offensively, first or second. There was a clear lateral on a pass to Dowdell. Yeah. There was a clear lateral, and they blew it dead. Like, it was so clearly a lateral.
Yeah, right.
And they didn't – there was no challenging. There was no nothing, which would have moved the ball back 5 yards.
Well, once they blew the whistle, you're screwed.
Yeah, you actually are.
Yeah.
And then – so they clearly missed that one. There was another one that Troy Aikman even brought up, that the Texans got away with it. They got away with a 5-yard penalty when it should have been an interference. And Troy brought in Terry McCauley and said, – Terry, shouldn't that be an interference? He goes, yeah, he was down the field and contact was made. So, yeah,
right. With the
ball was in the air. It should be an interference. Right. And they just move on, and you start realizing they're stacking these up, man. Like, the officials are missing basic stuff.
No, it's bad. It is bad. Travis wants to get in here and talk about the Texans. Hey, Travis.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, it was a win, but it was kind of ugly. Another bonehead call, that 3rd and inches in the fourth quarter, and he throws it. I mean, you give it to the running back, for God's sake.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was going to elaborate what you just said on that Petrie hit. And they need to come up with some sort of, like, 5 challenges a year on personal fouls like that, because the rules expert guy on TV even clearly said it was not a legal hit.
Right.
So,
yep. Well, you know, if you start judging, and those especially, college always review targeting, and that obviously they thought that it was a blow to the head. Otherwise, they're not going to call that because he hit him in the shoulder with his shoulder pad.
They anticipate a lot of these, and if it looks like a hard hit, you're getting a penalty.
Yep, right.
It's been that way forever.
He got penalized for hitting a guy hard. That's what he got hit.
Uh-huh, but it was a clean hit.
And you could argue it's a defenseless receiver.
By the way, do the Texans, I think you have to go back to Jerry Glanville's Oilers to see a defense that flies to the football with more aggression. Like, Al Shaier's like, you'll catch friendly fire from that guy. He'll just fly in and hit anything in the way. It just doesn't matter.
Why is Kenari Lassiter out? Jimmy Ward.
Jimmy Ward is the same way. Yeah. Al Shaier knocked out Autry for a few plays. Yeah. Autry's leg, I'm like, oh, God, I hope he's okay, because Al Shaier's just flying in there. Petrie literally came in and hit. It was the hardest hit of the game was on the offensive lineman who picked up the ball and fumbled.
Oh, yeah, Guyton.
On Tyler Guyton. So it was like the Texans, I will say this, D'Amico Autry has a team full of guys who hit now.
Yep.
They fly around and they hit. Sometimes it's a little out of control, and you wish it'd be under more control, but boy, do they run around and smack.
I think we have to get used to the fact, you know, and I know they're awfully talented offensively. They did lose Diggs. I mean, that's a huge loss for them. But I think we have to get used to the fact that maybe this is a defensive football team. They're really good defensively.
Well, but they're not. This is the weird thing.
Yeah, they are.
They look good statistically, but how many big touchdown plays do they give up? long touchdown passes, and how many long would-be touchdown passes have they nearly given up? Way too many. Wait, another long touchdown pass yesterday, and they give up, and they have so many opportunities for bigger touchdown passes throughout the year where quarterbacks miss. I mean, it was more in the first half of the season, but Aaron Rodgers missed a couple in that game against the Jets.
He did.
And so I think it's a weird combination of, I think they're a good defensive football team, but then they have really bad reps on the back end sometimes where they just give up, like they just get beat for deep balls and deep touchdowns that you know, you don't associate with good teams.
Well, yards per game, the Houston Texans are fourth.
They're low in yards per game.
Fourth in the league. Passing yards per game, they're sixth in the league. Rushing yards per game, they are...
But go look at the amount of long touchdowns.
They're only giving up 108 per game.
Explosive touchdowns.
2, 4, 6. Yeah, but... Okay.
I mean, that's scoring points. Look, I would rather have a team that
points
gave up...
per game, they're giving up 21.5, which is top 12.
Middle of the pack. It's 8, all right.
10, 11th. 11th in the league.
It's all right. But the problem is you can't give up explosive touchdowns.
11th in the league.
You're fine. Giving up yards. You know what Bobby Slowick gets no credit for? The amount of yards his offense gets? You don't care because what's it about? Scoring. Conversely, you don't want to allow long touchdowns because that's what will get you beat. You don't want to give up those explosive touchdowns. And the Texans gave up another one. So I don't. It's a weird combination of I think they're good, but then they have this really huge hole where they give up long explosive plays through the air. And that's not like that'll get you beat against in the playoffs. That'll get you beat.
Yep. Obviously something they have to clean up, but man, that's a swarming defense. It creates more havoc than any defensive team in the NFL. The 33rd team put that out, and they did it again last night that the Texans were the biggest havoc creators in the NFL. So, I think, you know, you're right. Despite the long touchdowns that they give up, I think if you can cut that down, this defense is going to be something that's going to be dealt with in the postseason.
Yeah, I think they're maybe a core. Well, they may just be one cornerback away, you know, where Petrie, but Petrie doesn't play in the back end really, so. If they wanted to play two high safeties and you got another talented like a Jaquan Brisker or, Brian Cook or somebody like that, like other teams have that are in drafts every single year, you found the right safety and it could be a guy who could run a little bit. It could be Operation Lockdown because you got Bullock is ranges and intercepts everything.
Well, yeah. Oh, and he dropped that one last night. Holy cow.
Wow.
That would have been. Time to talk about, I don't know what you were doing while you were watching the game.
He might have run for a long touchdown.
He
had a running start.
Yep. And I almost spilled my Coors Light when he dropped that ball, but I didn't. Thank you. I thank you for my discipline and my courage to hold on to my Coors Light during that play. Okay, and here's the deal, is if you're somebody that is courageous enough, do you want to try something? Yeah, courageous. That's what I said, Del. If you're courageous enough to get on out there and put yourself on the line, put yourself out there and drink cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, then you're with me. Then you're one of my peeps. Today we're going to be playing golf because it's a beautiful day, and we're going to be drinking cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights. It's what we're going to do. Do you know why? Because it's another day. That's right. And that means Coors Light for everybody. Let's go. I'm going to keep Texas chill. You know what? It's going to be nice, a beautiful day out there. I'm going to keep it chill. Why don't you keep it chill by drinking cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, before we get a couple more calls in here, let's play the CJ Bite. CJ talking about, and CJ made a little bit of mistake, a little mistake here in the post-game press conference, immediately cleared it up because it would have been a headline, okay? If the offensive line is why we win and lose. And here's CJ last night.
You know, them boys, they're the heartbeat of our team. O-line and D-line are the reason why we win and lose. not why we lose. They're why the reason why we win. Take it off the record. Slip up. They are the reason why we win. But yeah, I mean, it's up to us to play complimentary football. And, you know, a lot of times they get the blame, but it's not for them to blame. It's myself, you know, sometimes, you know, not getting the ball out on time and just miss IDing or things like that. So, you know, when those guys are humming and, you know, we're playing on time, doing what we're asked to do as a philosophy, you know, then it's hard to be beat.
I worry that we're not able as a general
as a race
public to enjoy anything anymore because we're so upset about either play calling or offensive line play, and we're always looking for that confirmation bias to say, "See, I knew it." That we can't even enjoy a win like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the Cowboys, and I know Cowboys are terrible. Cooper Rush is not good. All that stuff that goes with it, but I mean, it's just. This feels like a joyless season right now. Do you think?
No,
that?
I don't feel that way.
You don't feel that way?
Okay. No, not like a Bill O'Brien season. No.
Well, no. Okay. Nothing no. was. Well, I fundamentally did not like the guy running the show because I didn't think he was. I thought he was just. For a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
I just feel like.
Maybe
it's me. I had really high expectations for him, and I feel like. Now, granted, you know that was only the second game that. Nico and Joe Mixon to play together, right? The second game all year that those two guys have played full reps with each other.
First week.
Full and seasons. Then, second week is when Joe got hurt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he was out for, what, three? And then Nico was down. So that's only the second game all year. Okay.
So let's see what let's see what happens with all those guys together. Mm. You got Kenyon Green up out of there. So let's see what happens there. Let's see what happens when Lassiter. I guess you've only had one game where you've had Lassiter. You know how many games you've had where Christian Harris has been on the field with
none,
those guys?
None, zero.
It's clear he's not coming back.
I'm looking at this differently. I'm not as I'm obviously a little disappointed because there were so many more high expectations were so much higher than what we're seeing. But I really feel like they're going to get it together. I do. I feel like they're going to put it together down the stretch, and they're going to be a really good football team, and they're going to regain the confidence of not only us here, but nationally, everybody feels like the Texans are underwhelmed.
It's fine.
And that's fine.
The perception may be less of a target on your back then. That's fine. It really doesn't matter what we think of them. It really doesn't matter what the national public. That's just perception. Perception means nothing when it comes to winning a game or losing a game. All that matters is that D'Amico holds guys accountable. D'Amico keeps those guys up and engaged. That's really all that matters. Go out there and tackle in an open space. It really still is an execution. It's not sexy to say that, but it is an execution sport. When guys are open, CJ's got to hit him. He's got to read hot. When you got a ball coming to you, you got to secure it and make contested catches. Mixon's doing it. I don't know what else. I don't even know what I could possibly say to Joe Mixon. With Slowick, sometimes you got to know when to get a little tricky and when to just. You know, play your cards the way they're supposed to be played. Like a third and short, you don't throw it. You just run the ball when you're running like that.
Well, so
although people also complain, he ran right in the middle. He's not even so predictable. Well, but Joe was murdering them.
Yesterday. Yeah. Well, I got one text from buddy. He said, "Hey, there were eight in the box, so it was the right call to throw the ball as opposed to running Joe Mixon." No, sometimes you just got to put a body on a body and win. For a half a yard, for third and inches, sometimes you just got to win. You got to win your battle. That's all. There were eight in the box. You still run.
I wish we could quarterback sneak.
Huh?
I wish we could quarterback sneak.
No, we're not doing that.
I know, but I wish we could. CJ. Well, don't we have can't Tegan Quatoriano do it or Devin White or somebody?
Yeah, we could do that.
One of those bullies. Right. Just do nothing but take snaps. Nothing but take snaps for 4 days.
Snap, snap, snap.
Make sure in practice that they're used to taking snaps, and then just use some bully to do it. You know, Andy Reid has his tight ends do it all the time. Noah Gray. They have other teams will have tight ends go in motion and then under the center and then they score.
Yeah. San Francisco does that. A lot of teams do. All right, let's get Chris in the Woodlands in here. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Hey, so when we drafted Stingley, I was a little down, obviously, because Sauce was so amazing and Stingley was hurt all the time. But I want to apologize to Derek. He's had a great year. He's been playing really well. So having said that, I wanted to ask, if we have the 26th through, let's say, 29th pick, this year in the draft, gun to your head. I know we have offensive line problems, and John, you've talked a lot about needing secondary help. What do you guys go with? Do you go offensive line in the first round, or do you go secondary? Now, I get a little... Thanks, guys. Love the show.
I'm going cornerback. I'm going corner.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see what the board looks like, but I would probably go corner, too, because typically you need to find your corners inside the first three rounds, and you'd like to do it inside the first two. With offensive linemen, and especially guards, what you need, you can find starters in rounds 3 through 5. So the odds are, if you're drafting in round one, you're going to find... Now, you'll probably find the top guard on the board, maybe the second guard on the board at that spot. But I think I'd rather have... Yeah, I think I'd rather have corner, because ultimately, you still have to beat Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. I mean, these guys can throw, and they're eventually, you know, some of them have better targets than others. You got to be able to cover those guys. You're going to have too many long touchdowns this year, or potential long touchdowns through the air. This makes more sense that you get a better... Well, I don't know. Either... I would get corner, but if D'Amico Ryan says, no, Lassiter's a dude and Petrie's a dude, because they are dudes, but are they right to cover downfield against all the combination of receivers that you're going to see?
Yeah.
Does it make sense for Petrie to be mismatched on the slot against a Davante Adams? Is that one of your favorite matchups?
You need another cover corner, because you're in nickel most all the time.
So you just get rid of Jimmy? They just extended Jimmy. What are you doing with Petrie? He's not taking Petrie off the field.
No, he's not taking Petrie off the field, but Petrie can play as what he is. He's a safety. And you have three corners on the field. I mean, he's a safety. Play him as a safety.
So then Jimmy's off the field.
No, you got five DBs.
No, I know, but you've got
Jimmy.
Bullock.
Jimmy, Petrie, Bullock. and three. Well,
no, Caden Bullock's got to play.
They switch now.
No, but Caden Bullock
plays about 45% of the play.
No,
50%.
Caden Bullock plays.
Well, last week against the Lions, he played very little. You know that,
Caden,
right?
Bullock? No.
Yes, because they had a running. Yes, he played. He didn't. He didn't.
But
play
Caden Bullock
game.
Is a single high safety. I don't know. Like, you don't have a single high safety other than him.
Listen. You got two safeties on the field, and Jimmy Ward and Petrie, and you play three corners. That to me makes a hell of a lot more sense than what they're doing with Petrie.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, Jimmy Ward is super limited. Petrie super limited.
Jimmy Ward isn't there half the time.
No, but when he does play, he's a box safety. Neither one of those guys are back end guys. You got to have a back end guy. That's Caden Bullock. Like, I don't even know you. To me, Jimmy Ward is superfluous. Go find another safety. Let Jimmy be a great leader and a part-time.
Yeah, except they just extended him. So,
well, I don't, but he's not, doesn't make you the best you can be, and he's always hurt.
Yeah.
He's always hurt.
I agree 100%. And I still say, to me, he asked the question, I go get a corner.
I do too.
Jamie wants to talk about the crowd. What do you say, Jamie?
Hey, Double Rod, guys.
Double Rod.
Born and raised in Houston. I hadn't lived there in 20 years. Moved to Dallas about 14 years ago. I had to raise my boys here, but I gave them the speech about being surrounded by sheep, how sheep are stupid, right? And so I raised them to be the wolf, right, in the pack of sheep. So diehard Texans fans, man, we've lived here for a long time. It's, you know, it's tough sometimes being surrounded by the Cowboys sort of fanatics. But I wanted to give a shout-out to the crowd last night. The H-Town crowd showed up, man. It was really – huge. I mean, sea of red. Texans fans all over, man. The concourse, all in the seats, louder than the Texans fans. And I got to tell you, man, I coming to work on a day after a game like this would have been tough had we lost. But I'm repping my Texans gear in the office today, and love the crowd that showed up. So anyway, shout out to my brother who showed up, drove up from Houston, and just to all the H-Town fans who were out. So man, I just want to make that plug.
Nice. All right, Jamie, we appreciate it. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, they showed up last night. There's no question. Nice job. Nice job. Especially, you could hear when the first play of the game, place was going nuts. Now, the visiting team will tend to be in the stadium before the home team does, before the home team gets there. But it was loud. I mean, I think even, didn't Joe Buck and Aikman make reference to it?
About
the crowd? About the Texans there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did a nice job. Nice job.
That's almost inconceivable that a Cowboys stadium could be filled up with Texans fans.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were bolting in the third quarter like they were getting out of there. They don't want to be there. They already know this is a dead year. Like, you literally are dead team walking. There's dead coach walking, lame duck coach. It's going to continue to be terrible for Dallas. I made a comment yesterday on Twitter that I'd like to see Dak Prescott call plays. I know he did that some in a preseason game at one point, I guess. I'd like to see Dak Prescott. He's not going to play all year long. Maybe it helps him have a better feel and understanding for the position. If he's up there, if he's helping to install the offense on a Tuesday and come up with a game plan and call plays, why not have Dak call plays one game? Why not? I mean, whoever the offense coordinator, the whole staff's going to be cleared out after the year's over anyway. Let Dak call play. Let him install an offense, go through what he wants to let him have that process so that he understands the concepts better and the offense better. Let him call plays for a week. Why not? What's the difference? You suck anyway.
Well, there you have it. You suck anyway.
Yeah.
759 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, Bullock's playing 51 plays a game. Jimmy Ward's playing 47. And Jalen Petrie doesn't come off the field. He's playing 57.
Yeah, he's the nickel. He's a corner. He's not a safety. They're playing all the plays.
He's playing 94% of the snaps is Jalen Petrie. Is what he should. I mean, no, he's the guy. But here's the thing is Jimmy Ward is never healthy. So, but I you know what? Get another cornerback because Jeff Okuda shouldn't be on the field. That's why you need another cornerback right there. Why you need windows, why you need a new window guy is because of Gulf Coast windows. Because your windows that may not be very good. I don't know where you are with your windows, but if it's loud outside, if it's warmer near your windows than it is in the rest of the house, that means that hot air is getting into your home. You're losing money because you have to cool it more because of your windows aren't as good. If you're worried about your security because they're not great windows, well, they're easy to break into. Gulf Coast windows, not so much. Nope, double pane, double strength. They're unbelievable. They're the best windows in the market. If you go to the showroom, you're going to be amazed, not only at the windows, but the doors as well. Fantastic. Fantastic. You're going to be like, wow, this is impressive because they have the best windows in the market. They do the best insulation, Pinnacle Award for service, to Pinnacle Award for just a business that's been around for 36 years. This is what Jim Fiume has done all of these years and continues to do. You're looking for the best window in the market? GulfCoastWindows.com, 713-849-5454, GulfCoastWindows.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.